I want to welcome everybody to this podcast and thank you for listening. This is the host of the podcast, Wiley Walker, and I have always wanted to tell my story. So I was thinking about what I could do for a podcast, and then it came to me. I said, well, why don't I tell my story, tell my life story in general, you know? And because I think that it is a story that when you look at it from the angle of God, how he was always there making things happen, being there, providing, protecting, showing, teaching, and all of the things that happen, I think that it's an interesting story myself. So I hope that you enjoy listening to it, and I'm going to tell it section, but I'm not going to tell the whole thing in one part. I'm going to tell it section by section. So if you like it and you want to keep track of where it is, then you can subscribe, leave some comments, tell me what do you think. It's a way you can leave an audio recording through the Anchor app, and you know, I could add it into the podcast maybe. So I hope you enjoy this, and I will start off by telling you what happened from the beginning. Thank you. Welcome again, once again, to the podcast of This Is My Life Story, and I'm sticking to it. I call it that because a lot of it probably will sound like something that is impossible to believe. But I can promise you, either it happened or I really believed it happened. So I said I was going to start from the beginning. So I will start off by telling you where I was born. And I was born in Gulfport, Mississippi, which Gulfport is the second largest city in Mississippi after the state capital, which Jackson, Mississippi, which eventually I will wind up living there too for a while. And it kind of, Gulfport kind of goes along with Biloxi, and they are the county seat of Harrison County. And I did a little research, and I was born there, and I guess I should have known this for a long time, but I did a little research, and I found out that Harrison County is named after President William Henry Harrison, who, I have to admit, a president I had never heard of until I looked it up and started researching. So I'm going to have to do some research on him too, and see how he did as a president or what he did. So I was born on September the 12th, 1970, and there were a lot of events happening in the world at that time. I guess, you know, they say that some Palestinian terrorists blew up three hijacked airliners. They were holding hostages and stuff like that. The Soviets launched Luna 16 to the moon. And we also had the supersonic airliner, the Concorde, landed for the first time at Heathrow Airport. Also, LSD professor, and I had to look that up because I said, are they really talking about LSD, the drug? And they were. I guess this guy was a professor that thought LSD was something that was good and that could expand the mind and stuff like that. And he was in and out of jail And on September the 12th, 1970, he escaped from jail out in Cali, in California. President Nixon, I guess, said at certain times that this was the most dangerous man in America. Wow. So, also on September the 12th, 1970, Olympic Australian rower Rebecca Joyce was born in Australia, and American guitarist Nathan Larson and composer, which had compositions like Shudder to Think and Hot One, he was born in Maryland. September the 12th, 1970 was a Saturday, so I was born on the weekend. I was born on Saturday. So, a little bit about my birth. I was born at Gulfport Memorial Hospital, and when I was born, the doctors were calling me the miracle baby because my heart built another aorta in order to keep me alive. So I heard so the situation. I was born with the heart condition that was going to require me to have heart surgery when I was about 5 years old. So that was always something that I lived with all of my life. And when I had the heart surgery, that's when the first miracle that I would say, when the first miracle happened that I remember in my life. So I was born to Jane Walker and Wiley Walker Sr. I'm a junior. So my dad's people was out where is out in Tylertown, Mississippi. He was a brick mason. He's now he's, you know, he's not doing as well. He's at basically this place where they have to take care of him all the time and stuff like that. So my mom's people basically was out in Jackson, Port Gibson, Mississippi, and my mom is a teacher, retired teacher now. And eventually, when I was 2 years old, my sister Avril was born. And then when I was 6 years old, my sister Andrea was born. And they are both teachers out in Mississippi, out in Jackson and Clinton, Mississippi. So they became the professionals of, they became the teachers. I became the black sheep of the family. So that is kind of the intro. And I went to elementary school. Well, first I went to Mrs. Knox. I don't even really remember the name of the school, the elementary school, but I remember my kindergarten because I heard it so much. Mrs. Knox. I went to Mrs. Knox's kindergarten. And when I first went to the first day of school, I was not going to stay. I was running to the door and bamming when my mom tried to leave. Because probably I was, you know, my mom always kind of babied me because of the heart stuff. So, but eventually I got used to being there, being in class and being just around, you know, other kids and being at in a educational setting. So, but I had to be taken out of kindergarten early because I had to go have the heart surgery. Because when I really started, when I got older, to about 5 years old, and I would run and play and stuff like that, my fingernails would turn purple from all the extra, I guess, blood that was flowing because of the, I had two aortas and you're only supposed to have one. I mean, if you don't know what the aorta is, it's the largest artery in your heart and you have one, but I was born with two. So that's why the doctors were saying it was a miracle And it was something like something they'd never seen, or it was very rare or something like that. So the first big event that I really remember probably was going into the hospital to have the operation. You know, other than, you know, growing up, looking at TV, stuff like, you know, remember looking at stuff, the stuff that I like, Dukes of Hazzard. I used to like the Dukes of Hazzard, The Bionic Man, and, you know, The Incredible Hulk was on, stuff like that. And, you know, we looked at TV, too, with our mom. We'd be at home and stuff like Price is Right and all that kind of stuff. Even some of the soaps, the soap operas. So eventually it was time for me to go and to have the heart surgery. So I had the heart surgery in Jackson, Mississippi. I had the heart surgery at University Hospital. So when I get there, you know, all of these doctors are, it was kind of weird because it was like, I felt like that these people thought that I was something really special, or that I was, that it was something so interesting about me. They would even come in sometime, the doctors would come in, like a doctor would come in with a team of doctors or whatever, or maybe some interns that were learning, that were going around, you know, being taught the medical stuff. And I remember one time they said, y'all need to come listen to this heart, because this might be the only chance you have to hear a perfect heartbeat. And I'm thinking, wow, really? So I was going a lot to have, you know, x-rays. That was a pretty common thing. They were doing a lot of x-rays. The doctors, excuse me, the doctors would take me, well, the first time it was similar to kindergarten. When the first time they tried to take me away from my mom, I didn't want to go, but my mom assured me that she would be there when I got back. So I started going with the doctors into all of these laboratory rooms and everything, and they would be putting all of these, connecting all of these wires and tubes and suctions to me, and looking and monitoring my heart and looking at and studying my heart rate and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, you look at the screen, you would see all this activity on the screen, which of course I didn't understand. All of this activity on the screen where it was showing your heart, and it was just a very, it was, you know, it's a very kind of, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say weird, but it's for me, being a kid, it was a very kind of, well, I just say, I won't say weird, but, you know, kind of awesome, kind of, it made me just really kind of see a side of life that most people probably never would see, being in that kind of a situation. And it makes, you know, it made me think about certain things and about my heart and stuff like that. So eventually it was time to go have the surgery. So here we go. We've done all these tests. We've done all these x-rays. The doctor told me what was really going on and stuff like that. And so now it's time to go have the operation. So now I remember being wheeled in on a gurney. And I remember at a point, like, this big needle was coming down. And I was like, oh my God. And next thing I know, there was like this gas mask or whatever over my, they put over your nose and stuff. And I was out. The next thing I know, I was in a room. And now it really wasn't in the physical world, but it was in the spiritual world. And I never even really was aware that that was how what was really happening until years later when I would see people say they had similar experiences of like out of body experiences or whatever. So I was in the room, in this room, and it was kind of a little dark. It was dark, and I didn't see anybody, so I walked out of the door, and I was in this hallway, and I saw, you know, people. I remember kind of seeing a doctor or so, and so I said, well, let me go to my room, because my mom is going to say she'll be there whenever I get back. So I went to my room, and she was not there. So I panicked, and I started running all through the hospital, screaming and crying, and, you know, nobody heard me, nobody saw me, nobody was paying attention, and I'm running, and I get to this hallway, and bam, there it is. All of this light. And I could see, like, it was a man standing in the light. And I was like, oh, my God, that's God. And I knew it was God. And all of a sudden, there was this peace. And I wasn't afraid anymore. And it was just like this brilliant light that I can't even really explain. It was just this light that was so brilliant. And the only thing I could think of to explain it would be how it said in the Bible when Jesus, the transfiguration, when he was glowing. And that's how it looked. And so he said, sometimes in your life, your mom might not be there. Your dad might not be there, but I'll always be here with you. And then poof, it was over. Now in real life, after the operation, I was having complications. Dad went and got my mom to sign papers because it looked like something was going badly wrong. They was going to go back in to do something. Yeah, to go back in, but all of a sudden I stabilized. Just like, boom. I just stabilized. So, you know, I came out of the surgery. I don't really remember. I was in recovery for a while. And when they rolled me out, my sister, Avril, she wanted to run up and, I was in a wheelchair. She wanted to run up and hug me, but they were like, no, baby, you can't. You know, he's still sore and everything. So, I remember I was in, when I was back in my, in the one of the rooms, and I couldn't drink anything. I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't drink anything or whatever. And they eventually came and said, well, you can have some milk. And I hated milk, but that was the best drink that I ever think I had in my life when I had that milk. And so, you know, that's why, so I kind of ended right here for now. So that's why that is like the main crux of why I wanted to do a podcast about this, because it's something that I have really always, something that I've always been just awestruck by. And it was just like God said when he spoke to me and said, I will, you know, sometimes your mom might not be there, your dad might not be there. And when I grew up, that became totally a reality. And he was always there. And it was some things that really happened during my lifetime. After I got to be about 21 years old, and in my 20s, I you know, took a path that was very bad for me and for a lot of people. So that's why I wanted to tell this, you know, tell my life story. And really, I want to tell it because really, God deserves all of the glory for me being here today and me being in the, you know, able to, you know, go to work, able to go to church, all the friends that I have. I mean, it's a miracle. That's a miracle in itself. That because I got to the point where I had nothing. And, you know, now I have a whole different life. And the only reason I have it is because of God. Now, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people know, they say, well, yeah, everything we have is from, but you know, it's a way that I can tell my story that somebody might hear it and they might say, it might make them, you know, realize, hey, that's what I need God, you know, so, and God is always there for everybody. I'm not special. God is he loves everyone. He loves the entire world. You know, he even loves the bad people that do bad things. And if we repent, he's always just to forgive us. So I'm not going to preach, but that is kind of the start of the story. And I guess when I do the next one, I will talk about when I got back home, kind of the situation that was going on. You know, it gets into the point, me and my dad's relationship is not the best. It gets bad eventually. So thank you for listening. If you want to leave a comment, that's greatly appreciated. If I don't know exactly how it works, sorry to say, but there's some kind of way that if you use the Anchor app, you can leave an audio message. And I would definitely be willing and grateful and excited to put, you know, anyone's message into, you know, like a part of the podcast, some kind of way. So, so once again, thank you and have a blessed day. And once again, this is my life story and I am sticking to it.